We're taking a look at some of this week's news from around the state. A Supreme Court candidate is under scrutiny for his record on LGBT issues. Officials in northern Wisconsin are pushing for a return of the tax reciprocity agreement with Minnesota, and a historic hotel in Green Bay is reopening after a nearly decade-long remodeling effort. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, good to have you back.
Judith, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How
great.
Are you?
I'm good. Well, let's dig right in. There's a lot to cover. So on April 2nd, we'll have an election for a Wisconsin State Supreme Court seat. Brian Hagedorn, who's running against Lisa Neubauer, is facing criticism for his role in founding a K-8 school in Waukesha that essentially bans LGBT students, staff, and parents. What do we know about this?
Right. So this is a Christian private school that Hagedorn founded in 2016, and he's on the board of now. And the school has an official policy that states that same-sex marriage violates its religious beliefs. Teachers may be fired and students may be expelled if they or their parents violate the school's code. So by its letter, this could refer to any sexual activity outside of marriage. In practice, most people would interpret it as being primarily aimed at people who are gay. And the policy does explicitly state that same-sex marriage is in opposition. This is something that private schools, Christian schools, do. By no means is this is Hagedorn School, the Augustine Academy, unique in this way. But it raises the issue for somebody who's running to be a judge about his impartiality on issues like that as a judge.
And how has he responded to these reports?
Well, so the context here is these reports this week came after earlier report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel uncovering some old blog posts that he made in 2006, 2007 when he was a law student that were quite, stridently socially conservative, let's say. He referred to himself and understood himself to be a culture warrior on the right wing side of the culture war, and so he was doing activism, which is, that's politics. You can say what you want on your blog, but for a judge, it's not really consistent with the image that a lot of people at least say they want. And so for the Democratic side, they say that this is they have an interest in playing up the way that he is engaged in these partisan politics. So that's background. His statement at that time was, his campaign statement, I should say, is that he set that aside when he became a judge. A judge's job is to interpret the law and follow the law, and he is an impartial judge and has shown that in his career as a judge. So this came out that this private school was founded in 2016 while he was a judge. So the argument here is this side of him is still a part of him. And so for people who agree or don't see that as an issue, that will be understood as just another expression of his religious views. But this is politics, and that's the question that's being raised, is where he separates his own politics from his judging.
Do we have any sense yet whether this might either win or lose him votes in April?
So there's not a primary in this race. So there's he's going to be the conservative side's justice here, and the April election is a low turnout affair, always and forever. And so the people who tend to vote are people who are quite engaged in politics, right? On the other hand, I think that it's not a coincidence. This is being pushed. These stories are being trumpeted by the left-wing side of the argument, right? Their view is that they are sounding an alarm or whipping up their base, the liberal base, to show up to oppose this guy.
We're talking with Rob Menser right now. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau and joins us almost every week at this time to talk about some of the big news stories from around the state. And Rob, let's move on to tax reciprocity. So public officials from northwestern Wisconsin are pushing state leaders to bring back the tax reciprocity system that existed with Minnesota in the past. It ended about 10 years ago. What exactly did that program do?
Well, so first of all, I'm surprised that you would stoop to such clickbait as to talk about tax reciprocity here. It's like, so sensationalized. So what it is for people who live in one state but work in another state. So if you live in Superior and you work in Duluth, it turns out to be a giant hassle to pay your income taxes. You have to file in two states. It's a whole thing, right? So it used to be that Wisconsin and Minnesota had a deal to do with this. You could file taxes in one place, and then the bookkeepers would sort it out and, sort of settle up at a future date. But in 2009, the governor of Minnesota canceled that. He said that Wisconsin was not paying Minnesota what it owed quickly enough. And so now, with the new administration here, there's discussion of raising it again, and it is something. I mean, it's not like a giant issue in central Wisconsin where I live, or in Madison perhaps, but like along the borders, like this does affect a certain number of people, and it would improve their lives to be able to file taxes just once. So,
and are we hearing anything from the other side of the border about whether they're open to reinstating this?
A fact to know is that there are more people who live in Wisconsin and work in Minnesota than vice versa. So Wisconsin always would end up owing money, about $106 million per year to Minnesota. That's not money coming out of Wisconsin's pockets. It was not our money in the first place, but like that's the direction the payments go. And so from Minnesota's point of view, they might sort of feel like, why should we have to wait? Let's just get our, it's not as good of a deal for them. However, Minnesota administration say they're open to it. You never know. It could come back.
So the Hotel Northland, this week in Green Bay, the Hotel Northland officially opened its doors. But for people in the area, this was not an average hotel opening. It's a nearly century-old landmark, and there was about a decade of ups and downs in this project. What took so long to bring this hotel back to life?
Yeah, this has been quite a saga for the people of Green Bay. So the building is like right downtown. It's kind of this magnificent building, and opened as a fancy hotel in 1924. By the 70s, it had become pretty run down, and it was used as like housing for the elderly. And it was in 2010 that city leaders decided, like, this might be a place for redevelopment. Maybe somebody will want to turn this back into a fancy hotel again. And as you say, it's taken forever. So one developer went bankrupt, and there were, like, legal complications to it. And it's just been quite a a millstone, a project around Green Bay's neck, this spot right in the middle of downtown that was sitting unused. So it's a pretty significant thing for Green Bay people, or just people who go to Green Bay, that, on Valentine's Day, the renovated Hotel Northland opened after a renovation of like $50 million went into that, all told. And so it's up and running now.
Great. Well, before we let you go, Rob, we've gone from extreme cold to extreme snow. Now it's getting cold again in much of the state. The last snowfall was actually record-breaking in your part of the state. Can you put in perspective for us what it was like having that much snow dumped on you so quickly?
So this is a lot of snow. This is a four shoveling day. This is a four times out in the driveway kind of day. Yeah, this was, the National Weather Service said this was Wisconsin's greatest February snowstorm, which is nice, I think. And don't get it confused here. People want to talk about, like, you set a snowfall record for that day in history, but here in Wausau, at least, it was 15.7 inches of snow. It was the most single-day snowfall. It broke the record of 1908, so of any day. That gets to be a lot of snow, I'll tell you.
So did you put your little guy to work out there on those four shoveling trips?
Yeah, I supervised. I had hot chocolate and was inside, but my 7-year-old did a great job, I thought, of clearing the whole space, and it was all right.
Awesome.
No, we worked together on it. It was good. It was father-son bonding.
Bonding. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. Well, Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Rob Menzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He joined us for a look at some of the week's top state news.